Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
February 8th, 2019, and as usual, some pretty interesting things to talk about today. U.S. sets the date for Syria withdrawal, but, you know, I'm not holding my breath. Venezuela brings out its S-300s. In preparation for defense, which I found incredibly interesting. The U.S. using humanitarian aid shipments to cover for weapons gets called out by the United Nations. And CIA death squads wreaking havoc in Afghanistan. You know, liberation. Interesting. But first, let's begin with the BDS movement, boycott, divestment, and sanctions, under new attack by Israel. And welcome back, Star Wilson. It's great to see you. First story of the day. Very important story, something we've been covering for quite a long time. And this is just the next step of something we've been seeing happen for a very long time. The aggressive actions on anybody involved in, you know, exercising their constitutional rights and boycotting who they wish, be it Israel or anyone else. But specifically in regard to boycotting Israel because of their war crimes committed against Palestinians. This one entitled, Israeli Government Launches Campaign Calling BDS Proponents Terrorists in Suits. This whole story is very frustrating to see the way that there's these incredible similarities. Now, I don't know if you want to say U.S. similarities to how Israel carries itself out, or Israel similarities to the way U.S. carries itself out, or, you know, foreign policy. But man, there are some incredible similarities here in their claims without evidence, just saying basically trust us. And, you know, their assertions here and all that. You'll see as we go through the story, you'll be able to pick out all the very clear things that we can align with exactly what the U.S. is doing all around the world. And, you know, I think you can understand why that just might be. Now, Israel, of course, has launched a smear campaign against activists affiliated with boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement, the BDS movement. And understand, activists. Not entire companies, but just individuals who are exercising their rights and trying to go through the proper channels in a legal manner and boycott them, which is their right, divest, stop, you know, buying things that come from properties they shouldn't own or occupy, and then calling for sanctions of a country that is carrying out very, very bad things, arguably some of the worst things happening in the world today. And of course, labeling anyone partaking in this legal avenue terrorists in suits now. This is the new term they're using with a new hashtag, #terroristsinsuits. Now, Israel's Strategic Affairs Ministry launched the campaign last weekend. So, you know, this is verified and backed up by the Israeli government, by Netanyahu's government. And just last weekend, with a series of posters depicting prominent BDS activists as terrorists, using the hashtag #terroristsinsuits to smear the individual's professional credibility and the BDS movement as in its entirety. And of course, translating this into every possible language anywhere and spreading it, you know, basic propaganda. Now, in one image, director of the Palestinian Center for Human Rights is shown smiling in a suit right next to an image of a man armed with a machine gun and clad in, of course, traditional Palestinian headdress, because we know that they're all terrorists. Everyone that lives anywhere over there is all a terrorist. Even the child that was just born yesterday, he's already a terrorist. By their own definition. So simply showing them in traditional Palestinian garb means they're a terrorist, but they had the machine gun and make them look real dangerous. And this image is meant to portray him, you know, basically his terrorist alter ego, because he believes in boycotting groups that are carrying out war crimes. Now, the campaign is being spearheaded by Israel's Strategic Affairs and Public Security Minister, Gilad Erdan, I believe, who said it, quote, reveals the true nature of goals of the BDS movement and its connection to terrorism and anti-Semitism. Now, I don't need to point out the absurdity of saying, here's a poster we made, and it shows the guy next to a terrorist. Doesn't this show you what they're all about? Like, this is proof. It's like Netanyahu coming up with his CDs and laser pointers and, you know, diagrams of a bomb and saying, Iran bad. It's just funny how they think that their own things somehow prove them without any evidence to back it up. But he goes on to say, quote, when people talk about the goals of the BDS movement, they don't bother to read official statements from its leaders, which would be a good point if you didn't follow it up with by saying, if you do, it becomes clear that the goals of its leaders are the same as those of the leaders of the Palestinian terrorist organizations. You know, the people fighting for their freedom from an oppressed apartheid state. Of course, if you can show that the goals of the Palestinians fighting for their freedom is the same as the BDS movement fighting for Palestinian freedom, then they all must be terrorists. This is the false equivalency logic that we're seeing applied to, you know, Russiagate today. Oh, well, look, they don't like war, and Russia doesn't want war with the U.S., so that means they're all Russian stooges. That's the absurdity of the stuff we're seeing today, but that's what they're trying to push here. They want to see Israel wiped off the map, he says. Promoting boycotts is just another different means to achieve this goal. Understanding that boycott, again, is our right, but the idea, the upsetting idea that a group that is illegally occupying Palestine, going in, kicking people off their land multiple times, depriving them of necessities, water, food, locking them in cages, keeping them in an apartheid state in a locked, basically an open-air prison, and then saying that they want us to be off the map. It's just unbelievable to see the hypocrisy here, and people who just want to believe, because they're a U.S. ally, they must be good, ignore all of the very clear things going on. This is an aggressive propaganda campaign, just like we've been talking about, preemptively trying to get ahead of this movement because it's growing, it's gathering steam. People are recognizing what these people are all about. Now, Erdogan has effectively waged war against BDS during his term as strategic affairs minister. In May 2017, Israel introduced a law blacklisting any NGOs and forbidding entry visas and residency rights to foreign nationals who support BDS, any of them. Now, Erdogan has since been at the forefront of efforts to ban Spanish, Jewish American, and British activists, and has also overseen the deportation of prominent human rights activists already stationed in Israel, including none other than the director of the Human Rights Watch, Omar Shakir. Now, think about the absurdity of something. I haven't pointed this out before. Many of these NGOs that they point to are groups that the U.S. will simultaneously use to justify other things going on in the world. Oh, well, this NGO said something bad about Syria, so we need to do something. But then Israel will swing around and say, well, they, you know, it's they apply these things where they want to. And we need to begin to see the inconsistencies in their policy, the hypocrisy, the contradictions everywhere. And to see that this group, like the Human Rights Watch, which again, I said before, I have plenty of things to be upset about with, and I could point out plenty of faults in the Human Rights Watch group, and just things that I completely think are horrible, but nonetheless, it's something that the U.S. and mainstream media specifically often support. And he kicked the director out of the country because he recognizes, at the very least, what Israel's doing is wrong. Very interesting. So we're going to have to keep an eye on this, and trust me, I'm paying attention to if and when the anti-BDS bill passes through the House and likely over Trump's desk. Another unconstitutional act continuing through our Congress, despite the fact that three judges now have ruled it unconstitutional. Interesting to see where that's going. Pretty rogue is a good word for it. Now, moving on to another story in regard to Syria. The idea of, you know, maybe the U.S. in some time near in the future might just be maybe leaving the country. Hopefully. We'll see. But this is a date now they've set. Thank you for the super chat, Cyrus. Why doesn't Dabu talk about Israel? I don't know. I believe I've heard him talk about Israel. But anyway, so this is an interesting story. An interesting story because we've heard this before. And I'm really not holding my breath. Just like we said before, now we even heard them say that they were staying there. And that's kind of what I think this is in regard to, that they're basically going to, if they do leave, going to swing everybody back into Iraq. On the border, right there, and they have said multiple times, don't worry, Israel, we're not leaving this fight. We're just going to have to maneuver ourselves around so it seems like we're, you know, not there, but we're really right there on the border, still sending in troops and tanks and covert operations. That's my opinion anyway. U.S. military finally sets target date for full withdrawal from Syria. As I said, I'm not holding my breath. But anything, if this actually happens, I will praise Trump for it, and I will point it out as a good thing. I don't care who's behind it. We need less people in countries around the world. We need more troops home. We need less foreign intervention all the way around. People that would oppose this because Trump's behind it are blinded by partisan politics. Good thing either way. Even if there's a nefarious agenda behind it, first step, get the troops out of countries we don't belong in. Bottom line. Now, as the article begins, here it is, finally. The time has arrived for the fabled, confused, and precarious U.S. troop withdrawal from Syria. Despite the best efforts of neocons and war hawks to permanently stall and alter its course. Now, according to the new Wall Street Journal report, which I know, just so trustworthy, quote, the military plans to pull a significant portion of its forces out by mid-March with a full withdrawal coming by the end of April, according to, you know, just anonymous U.S. officials. So as always, regardless of whether we agree with it or don't agree with it, if it's coming from a mainstream article or anybody for that matter, including myself, we shouldn't take it at face value. So this could just be more propaganda coming out in order to manipulate our opinion. Thank you for the super chat. But it doesn't mean we shouldn't disregard it. Maybe this is actually happening. But skepticism here is, it only seems logical. After unfulfilled claims, contradicting announcements, and outright lies so far. So taking a, as the article puts it, believe it when I see it approach, is simply reasonable. Now, President Trump first announced a rapid withdrawal on December 19th, which then kind of quickly became a no timeline and a slow and measured. And I never said rapid, even though it clearly said rapid, you know, kind of up and down. Bolton says we're staying forever. Pompeo agrees. Israel says they decided to stay in Al-Tamf. It's all over the place. Now, in the weeks that followed, it completely degraded. Now, we've seen basically that they've said they're staying to protect Israel. We've seen this. Though it depends on who in the administration or even the Pentagon was asked about this, which is even more interesting. But now the Wall Street Journal speaks with new confidence about this, that this time it's for real. The U.S. military is preparing to pull all American forces out of Syria by the end of April. Again, I find that incredibly hard to believe, even though the Trump administration has yet to come up with a plan, of course, to protect its Kurdish partners from attack when they leave, current and former officials have said. Basically, always with the caveat. So, you know, if something big happens, they'll have, oh, well, we got to protect them. We have to stay here for this reason and that reason, which is what's actually happened every single time so far. Remember, Trump has said this before. Trump has said, we're pulling out of Syria. And then, oh, the chemical attack that we now know was fake, that they attacked and did everything for anyway, with absolutely no due diligence, which suggests highly that they knew it was fake and they used it anyway. Or at least some people did. You can argue whether Trump was cowed and manipulated. I know some people believe that, and it's certainly possible. Now, the Wall Street Journal report, citing U.S. officials, says that Washington and Ankara have made little headway on the Kurdish issue. After a series of diplomatic cold shoulders, which is funny, including John Bolton being personally snubbed by Turkish President Erdogan last month while Bolton was visiting Turkey for talks. But for those that don't know, the idea is that Turkey completely labels the Kurds as a terrorist group. And as you know, generally, it's not that far off. Regardless of what you think about them, they're illegally occupying Syrian territory. So either way, they're not supposed to be there. But the U.S. has been using them as a chess piece in their game. And now everyone's going, oh, no, we can't leave the Kurds. They're undefended. And so this is the discussion, whether or not they have to do something. And this is what's kind of held it up. Now, the U.S. is more so, in my opinion, seeking to prevent its Kurdish allies on the ground from entering in an embrace and protection with Assad. Thank you for the super chat. I appreciate it. Or Streamlabs, actually. And that's the important thing to think about. It's not right. I don't think they care about these people's lives. I don't think they care about many people's lives, to be honest. It's about worrying about how this Kurdish force deciding to say, well, Turkey's going to murder us if you leave. So we kind of have to go to Assad and say, hey, we'll work with you. And it puts the U.S. in an even weaker position. I think that's what it's really about. Now, current and former U.S. officials stated, quote, under the working military plans, the U.S. would pull all troops out in the coming weeks, including about 200 Americans working out of a base in southern Syria, Al-Tamf, that has served as an informal check on Iran's expansion ambitions in the region. I first would argue that I think there's way more than 200 people in that location, but it's interesting that the number 200 is exactly what Israel asked for, and now they're basically saying, at least in their working plan, that no, we're not going to, even though Bolton basically said, yes, we're going to. So who knows what's going on? Maybe this is all their plan to manipulate and confuse everybody. But they're claiming now everybody. But notice they don't say where they're going. As Bolton himself and Trump himself have all said, mostly going to Iraq, right there on the border. And controlling the border, most likely, and using it as a place to continue to fund and arm and protect and basically do everything for all the extremist groups they've been using to destabilize Syria. So that'll be able to continue. I think that's what it's about. But even one step back, I think, is still good to allow Syria to try to take back all of its sovereign territory, including the Golan Heights, mind you. Now, the Wall Street Journal also noted that the Pentagon, interestingly enough, after all of this, has yet to comment. It says, quote, we are not discussing the timeline of the U.S. withdrawal from Syria. So again, funny how the Pentagon never seems to really line up with what everyone else is saying, but who knows? Good thing at the end of the day, if it actually happens. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw some big event. the Kurdish attack by Turkey, or an ISIS attack on U.S. troops, or another chemical attack somewhere, and it will be used to maintain their presence. But remember, we've seen a 50% increase in troops on the ground in Syria. So remember what Caitlin Johnstone always says, regardless of the narrative and everything they're saying, look at the actions. All we've seen so far is more people on the ground, more helicopters, more ships, more troops. So until that changes, that's the opposite of what they're telling us. Actions versus rhetoric. Remember, that's the most important thing, because they regularly lie, as it's been caught so many times in the past. And moving on to Venezuela, which is indeed always an important story with what's going on right now. And I found it very interesting that they're rolling out their the big guns, as it were, to protect themselves from what's going on. Clearly, we can see something happening on Colombia border, and some people say Brazil as well. We see weapon shipments being seized by the Venezuelan government coming allegedly coming in from the United States, which I'll get to in a story in a minute that I think is absolutely what we're looking at. But this is important. Entitled, Venezuelan Military Prepares to Fight U.S. Invasion, Releases S-300s from Mothballs, Satellite Image Shows You. Now, indeed, this is showing you that Maduro has no plans of leaving as they continue to try to pressure him. He has the support of the military. And as it happened with Chavez in the past, if they cannot get the support of the military, and most importantly, the support of the people, which regardless of what the mainstream media tells you is not the case, they will not win. And that's why they're trying to continue to arm and support and bolster the opposition to create chaos, to drive people into the arms of the opposition. Because just like with Chavez, when they unseated him for about 2 days, the only reason they didn't succeed is because everybody was against them and Chavez was brought back. They need that support. And they're not really good at that, to be honest. Now, the Venezuelan military is releasing its S-300VN air defense system from mothballs in Captain Manuel Rios Air Base, according to a satellite image released by Israel's ImageSat Intel, which, again, understand that this coming from them, it could be some kind of a manipulation. But here's the image that we're seeing. And this development is likely linked to preparation of the country to fight a possible U.S. invasion. Now, this obviously makes sense. That's why it seems logical that, of course, they're building up. And I think Israel's intent to show this is to, you know, intensify the conflict, to drive the U.S. to do this. Now, on February 7th, Russian Foreign Ministry spokeswoman Maria Zakharova said during a weekly press briefing that the U.S. has already made a decision to use force in Venezuela. And quote, everything else is nothing more than a covering operation. Man, they really got the U.S. number. And what's funny is, whether you agree with that or not, again, historically, they've done this exact thing countless times. And it blows me away how little people actually know of our own history. Stuff that you can look up on Wikipedia right now. And that, again, not always, that never necessarily makes it true. Wikipedia lies like anything does. But the point is, it's generally common knowledge what they've done in the past. A lot of basically every South American country, Colombia, Nicaragua, Honduras, over and over and over, they've tried to do this. And the Chile was a big one. We've talked about in the past with Kissinger and Allende and basically putting in the worst dictator possible. But, you know, he was their dictator, so it was okay. The point is, they lie and they cheat, they manipulate. And like they're saying here, at least as Russia's saying, that they made up their mind to use force a long time ago. And this is all just basically trying to cover that under a guise of, guess what? Humanitarian aid. Now, meanwhile, U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, of course, as we just talked about, claimed that Hezbollah has active cells in Venezuela. You know, Iran's there. So now I guess we have an excuse to do whatever we want. That's what they're thinking. So the U.S. seems to be already preparing a public justification for the military invasion. And as we also talked about yesterday, an admiral in the Navy is already saying, oh, well, those ambassadors that we left there when we shouldn't have, now they need military protection, which is just a scapegoat. You know, it's a loophole into being, let's bring the military into Venezuela, you know, to protect our ambassadors. You know, and maybe that's the truth. Who ultimately knows? But it seems like another lie to get them to bring the military on the ground. U.S. troops, which I don't think any Americans actually support. And interestingly enough, most Venezuelans don't support that, even the opposition, which is roundly shown. But the idea that he's continuing to say that Iran is present is just laughable. It really is. And it's something, again, that has been covered really well by multiple groups, Gray Zone, Whitney Webb on Mint Press News, the absurdity of saying that. And as she points out in general, that I'm probably going to talk about more tomorrow, in a great, there's an article that I just was reading before and follow up on it. But the interesting implication of saying that, well, because Hezbollah is there, you know, the political group of Lebanon, it basically is implying that they're saying that anywhere they're present, even though they're as they're saying, it seems like they're not present at all in Venezuela, which seems to make sense. That's just their lie. But he's implying that anywhere they are, the U.S. now seems that they're justified to go in and attack them just because, you know, kind of like Israel's continuing to do in Syria. Well, Iran's there, so we can break the law, is what they're saying. Think of the implications of that. That anywhere in the world, now the U.S. thinks they say they have the right, specifically Lebanon, to go in and just fight Hezbollah. That's a big deal. And again, the U.S. just seems to have this unilateral power over everybody else in the world when they really don't. That should show you something. Now, another story from Venezuela, coming from Moon of Alabama, that I think is always a great outlet, that covers some very interesting things about the humanitarian aid cover, including that the UN themselves have said, you know, hey, stop lying. You're using this as a cover for political and military operations. It's a pretty big deal. Article is entitled, Venezuela, U.S. aid gambit fails. War plans lack support. Now, a day after the U.S. coup attempt in Venezuela, the U.S. game plan was already extremely obvious. I, along with many other people, were already pointing this out, that this seems like a very tired effort that they've done many times before to use their this as if they actually have done anything in the past that helps really anybody. I shouldn't say it like that. I know that there have been good things that have been done by some people within the United States. Government is what I'm talking about. Individuals, there's a lot of great things that are happening all the time in this country, which I'm actually going to end with something about that concept at the end of the show. But the government is what I'm talking about, and there's been a lot of bad things that they've done and some good things here and there. But to pretend that they actually care about these people while they're starving 20 million people just across the ocean, it's kind of ridiculous to see that, to pretend that that's actually the case. Now, the opposition in Venezuela will probably use access to the frozen money that they've stolen from the Venezuelan government and the Venezuelan people to buy weapons and to create an army of mercenaries to fight the civil war against the government and its followers, the illegitimate war. Like in Syria, U.S. Special Forces or some CIA contractors, which is also a story we'll get to in Afghanistan, will be eager to help, you know, with impunity, which is what the CIA always does. Now, the supply line for such a war would most likely be running through Colombia. Now, interesting drawback to, you know, Bolton's like, whoops, 5,000 troops in Colombia. Maybe that was actually a mistake. Now, if like in 2011 in Syria, a war on the ground is planned, it will likely begin in the cities near that border. So we'll have to keep an eye along the border of Colombia. Now, the U.S. is using the pretext of delivering humanitarian aid from Colombia to Venezuela to undermine the government and to establish a supply line for further operations. It's another attempt to pull the military into the coup plotters' side. And this is something that he outlines in the article very well, and the idea that basically the opposition is going to try to facilitate these, you know, humanitarian aid shipments, which maybe, you know, maybe they are, maybe they aren't, into the country in hopes that the Maduro, pro-Maduro forces will let it happen. And in hopes that this will draw them over to their side and help, we're trying to help the people. And it's another operation to try to cut down on the military support, which has been failing wildly. Now, the government of Venezuela does not reject aid that comes without political interference. Of course, because the U.S. is doing this in a very political, military-minded way. The Venezuela actually accepts aid, which is what the media won't show you. But last year it accepted modest U.N. aid, which consisted mostly of medical supplies, from which Venezuela has been cut off due to U.S. sanctions, even though they continue to pretend like they let food and sanctions come through. No, they don't. They're completely cut off because they want the people to suffer. That's what this do. That's just like we showed you in the episode talking about unconventional warfare leaked by WikiLeaks. It's in their own documents that they use the banking system and they use sanctions to in unconventional warfare to hurt the people and drive forward their agenda. Now, the International Red Cross, the Catholic Church's aid organization, CARTIAS, and the United Nations rejected U.S. requests to help deliver the currently planned aid because it's so obviously politicized. All these groups said, no, we don't want any part of this. And they said, quote, humanitarian actions need to be independent of political, military, or other objectives. According to UN spokesman Stefan Dujarric, and speaking with reporters in New York. That's a big thing to say. In addition, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres said humanitarian aid should never be used as a political pawn. Guterres, excuse me. But that's, again, they're calling out their bluff. The UN, all these different people are saying the United States is using this as a guise to carry out their military ambitions. Now, if of course, for those that are thinking, oh, Maduro is this bad guy, if you think it makes Maduro this super villain for refusing aid, even if it, you know, actually is aid, assuming that what they're doing is not secret weapon shipments, which is likely, as they've repeatedly done in the past, here's some actual perspective for you, something that we have such a hard time with today. During Hurricane Katrina, U.S. President Bush rejected aid from Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez, which included, guess what, 2 mobile hospital units, 120 rescue and first aid experts, 50 tons of food, as well as 10 water purification plants, 18 power generation plants, and 20 tons of bottled water. Now, just think for a moment about what happened in Katrina. All of the Americans that were devastated and angry that the government was not able to help them, that they did such a terrible job actually helping Americans. And here is the president at the time of Venezuela trying to send a massive amount of aid, and Bush just said, no, thank you. We don't want your help. What a supervillain. Thank you for the super chat, my friend. I appreciate it. It says, who will and who should stand up to the American government? Well, that's what we're doing right now. Speaking the truth. I never advocate for violence, as you all know. The reality is we need to wake people up to what's going on. That's the most American thing you can possibly do today. But think about the absurdity of this. They're trying to say, the reason Maduro is turning down this aid because he's already clearly knows what they're trying to do. The UN called them out. And now, oh, what an evil man he is for, you know, the image of blocking off the bridge, which actually was blocked off in 2016, but they don't tell you that. Saying, oh my God, what a villain he is for not accepting this aid. Well, President Bush literally did the same thing to the detriment of Americans during Hurricane Katrina. But see, people don't think about this stuff. They don't compare the evil actions of the people in charge here to what they're trying to say about other countries. We need perspective, people. Now, interestingly, on Wednesday, a video actually emerged of aid being loaded into an airplane in Puerto Rico. The Puerto Rican Secretary of State told the media that the shipment made its way to Venezuela. So see, the media won't tell you this. There is aid coming in from other countries. They just won't accept it from people who are politically oriented or charged. They're using it as a guise. Now, the U.S. is intent to establish a humanitarian aid supply line into Venezuela, and it has a clear secondary purpose. Such aid is the ideal cover for weapons supplies. In the 1980s, designated humanitarian aid flights for Nicaragua were filled with weapons. And there's links to this in Moon of Alabama's article. Extensive information about the fact that Nicaragua, and they've tried multiple times to carry out a coup and regime change. And they used humanitarian aid verifiably to ship in weapons to the people they were funding to overthrow the government. It's just precedent. It's all right in front of us, people. Now, the orders for those flights were given by, guess who? Elliot Abrams, who is now Trump's special envoy for Venezuela, as Pompeo says, the man that's going to restore democracy in Venezuela. And you can't make this stuff up. They're not even hiding this because they don't think you're smart enough to do your due diligence and see what they're really about. Now, we just discussed what appears to be an attempted weapon shipment that was seized. Yet the U.S. will have to establish a continuous supply line, as Moon points out, for heavy and bulky ammunition. That's where the humanitarian aid convoy really comes in. The weapons can find their way in, but the heavy ammunition needs a specific continuous supply line. And as Moon points out, the clandestine insertion of a mercenary guerrilla force into Venezuela is surely possible. Minor supply lines could be established by secret means, but as the war on Syria demonstrates, such plans cannot be successful unless the people welcome the anti-government force, which they're not doing. Now, just think about that. Did the people have a huge play in this? If the U.S. had the backing of the people, this would likely already be over. Now, you argue that he's got the support of the military and you want to make him out to be this evil dictator and using that to say that, maybe. I disagree completely, but everything's possible. But the reality is you can show that there is a massive support for Maduro in that country, and as well as other places. They're all over the internet right now. You can see video. There's protests in South Africa in support of Maduro. There's protests in Colombia for support of Maduro. They're all over the world right now. And they will aggressively try to hide that from you. Ask yourself why that is. Now, interestingly enough, Colombia, the country that basically is they're using to facilitate this whole thing, is an ally of the United States and, of course, a victim of a long past regime change coup, which is likely why they're subservient to the empire. But think about this. Colombia is guilty of mass killings of the country's largest indigenous pop group, the Wayuu. Then no one bats an eye. Of course, currently this very year, Colombia is breaking records for, guess what? Cocaine production. And though the Colombian government and the military have been repeatedly tied to this drug trade, the Trump administration, like previous administrations, haven't lifted a finger. If you're asking why that's relevant, it's because guess what they're using to justify what they're doing in Venezuela, outside of the lies about who's actually causing the problems with hunger, which many would argue is not as bad as they're making it out to be, such as Moon of Alabama. But is they're saying there's an illegal drug trade going on? They're saying that they're killing innocent people? But I guess Colombia is exempt from that because they're a U.S. ally. Funny how that always seems to be the case. We have to recognize this has nothing to do with actually what's right or wrong. They're using these lies, or even truths, as it suits them to carry out their geopolitical goals, one of which is to seize the oil and the gold, as they've done so many times before. Now, for the last story of the day, and second thing before we end the show, this is a big deal here, and I think this is funny because it just shows you another country that was supposedly liberated by, you know, U.S. spreading democracy, Afghanistan, one of the first, at least first after 9/11, and still 18 years on, or I think after, this, since it's happened, they're still wreaking havoc across the country, even as they pretend to be currently trying to deal with the very group they said was responsible for all these bad things, and that's why we need to eliminate the Taliban, and now they're dealing with the Taliban. 18 years to deal with the same group. How ridiculous is that? Well, guess what now? Guess what's happening now? Afghan civilians fear CIA-backed death squads that can call in airstrikes. This is alarming. Like, it really is. The idea of these death squads and what they can accomplish, backed by the CIA, backed by the United States, but the CIA itself, which is interesting because in a lot of ways, they are a rogue government of their own. They don't really answer to anybody. And this is happening in a country with U.S. support that they've occupied for 18 years. How can we not see the comparison to trying to overthrow another country right now while it's worked out real well for Afghanistan? Now, elite CIA-backed special forces in Afghanistan are leaving, as they wrote, a trail of carnage in the country right now. As such units do not operate under the umbrella of the Department of Defense, as many may not even be aware, they have been given near impunity despite standing accused right this moment of multiple war crimes. Last month, the New York Times cited, quote, senior Afghan and international officials who said that while most strike forces in Afghanistan, they said, have been put under the purview of the Afghan intelligence since 2012, two of the most ruthless units are still sponsored mainly by the CIA. On Friday, the Bureau of Investigative Journalism revealed that at least one of these units has the capability of calling in airstrikes. Now, understand that these are CIA-backed groups. We're probably talking about foreign troops here. Likely. It's the same concept of when they gave Iraqi forces the ability to call in U.S. airstrikes. Without the president being involved, understand, by his own choice. He's openly said that he's given them control of this. They don't need to touch base with the president, God forbid, before carrying out U.S. airstrikes. That's amazing. And now we have CIA-backed death squads being able to call in airstrikes in Afghanistan while they're apparently trying to find peace. That doesn't line up. Now, a former senior Afghan security official told the Times that the strike forces were guilty of war crimes, while the United Nations themselves have expressed concern about consistent, quote, consistent credible accounts of international destruction. Excuse me. It's a quote. Consistent credible accounts of intentional destruction of civilian property, illegal detention, and many other abuses. The unnamed unit in Khost, in Afghanistan, was even singled out by the United Nations, which said it operates, quote, with an absence of transparency and ongoing impunity. It's crazy to see that this can be, the United Nations themselves can point it out, just showing yet again the real power structure here. The U.S. being above basically everybody, it would appear, because of their military might. Now, in September, elders from the three Nangarhar districts gathered for a press conference in which they claimed that 100 civilians, 100, were killed by these U.S.-backed groups just in August. Elders are putting the numbers of the civilians slain by them just in September and October at 260. So 360 civilians in these couple of months, a few months we're talking about. Think about if this was happening by Venezuelan-backed groups anywhere or Syrian-backed groups anywhere. Interesting hypocrisy there. Now, in one case, two brothers were killed as they watered their fields. In another case, a unit pursued, and first of all, before I continue, remember that you could argue these people are making this up, but this has been acknowledged by the United Nations themselves, and you could argue they're lying. But at some point along the chain, you have to recognize that there's legitimacy to what they're doing, even if based on the history of what they've done before. Now, and it goes on, a unit pursuing an alleged Taliban member entered the wrong home and killed dozens of civilians. Remember, this is all backed by the United States and the CIA. And yet another case, these U.S.-backed groups placed two brothers in handcuffs and spit hoods and interrogated them in front of their wives and children. After they were done being questioned, they dragged the brothers away and executed them in a corner of the bedroom and then detonated the building. Lovely. Lovely to know what your tax dollars are carrying out around the world. These black operations that we're not supposed to know about. Now, the CIA's training, equipping, and support of these groups is reportedly stoking resentment in America's 18-year occupation of the country. Big surprise. Which has little to show in regard to net gains against the Taliban. You know, the group they're now dealing with. Near the end of 2018, the U.S.-backed Afghan government controlled the smallest amount of territory since a U.S. military watchdog, the Special Inspector General for Afghanistan Reconstruction, or SIGR, since they started keeping track in 2015. Now, meanwhile, the U.S. dropped more bombs in 2018 on Afghanistan than during any other year on SIGR record. Now, think about that. At the time when they're supposed to be dealing, when they actually occupy less territory than they ever have, they're dropping more bombs than they ever have. How does that add up to anybody? This is what we talk about dropping the bomb somewhere. Well, we're getting pushed out of Syria. We got to drop bombs somewhere because we have to keep that military-industrial complex moving forward. Less territory than ever. They're dealing with the group they're supposed to be fighting, and now they're bombing more than ever. I mean, you can't justify this stuff. Now, as the article finishes, while the U.S. continues to conduct its mission of nation building and democracy promotion, that's worked out real well, in Afghanistan, and attempts to broker a peace deal between the Taliban and the government, bombing the country at unprecedented levels and being associated with de facto death squads on the ground could fuel, you know, distrust of the Americans. Maybe that's the point. Now, according to a former U.S. commander in Afghanistan who later became a diplomat to the country, Carl Eikenberry, quote, when the U.S. also takes on the mission of state building, then the contradictions between the two approaches, stealth, black ops, and non-transparency versus institution building, rule of law, and accountability, become extraordinarily difficult to resolve and our standing as a nation suffers. Think about what he's saying there. A group that comes in with stealth, black ops, and non-transparency, CIA death squads murdering civilians, and then tries to swing around the other side and say, oh, we need democracy and law and accountability. You can't speak out of both sides of your mouth. It's unbelievable. And you only see this stuff if you really start paying attention. Now, already, Afghans are beginning to suspect that the U.S. sought to prolong its occupation of their country as, guess what, a means of securing a position to spy on Russia, China, and Iran. Which is something that Zbigniew Brzezinski a long time ago made very, very clear, pointing out before 9/11 that this was one of the most important geostrategic points in regard to their efforts to go after the Middle East in general. Now think about that. And now they themselves are pointing the same thing out. These things, there's no way to rationalize this with this, you know, idea that we're being forced today. Oh, we can't question the government's actions. We're only spreading good and democracy and fighting for freedom. It's ridiculous. Not because I don't want that, because that's simply not what's happening. And we have to be realistic with ourselves if we're actually going to have any kind of change. Now, I want to end today with something that I added the last second. I've talked a lot about on this show, about the idea of what we're doing is quintessentially American. Fighting for the freedom of America. Fighting for Americans, not for the government. To understand that the government and the United States are two very different things. And to question your government is literally what this country was founded on. And today people have been propagandized into thinking that you have to be blindly subservient to your government or you're un-American. And that is ridiculous. As we can see so many bad things that continue to happen. Well, here's a different variation that I want to talk about today. Now, again, I'm not trying to call John out here. Because I agree with his anger in a lot of ways. But it's important to point this out for a couple of reasons. So John puts a comment and says, hey, Americans, How do you like being the kings of the world? Make you feel secure? Does it make up for living in a social s-hole? Have you seen what other countries are like? Their infrastructure makes your look like S, but bombs are so much better than bridges. Now, again, John, I'm not trying to pick on you. I actually understand where you're coming from. But here's how I answered, and this is what I want people to recognize. Especially first, that what we're doing is literally the foundation of what this country is about. Speaking truth to power, waking people up, fighting for the American people. I responded, hey, John, I am an American. And I speak out about the problems here and fight the villains with all I have. As do more Americans than you clearly realize. And more agree than you realize that what is going on today is not okay. A false media sells the false majority to us and the world, making people like yourself think in broad sweeping generalizations. And I'm not trying to be rude. I'm being sincere with him. Are there ignorant, apathetic Americans? Sure, quite a few. But just as many fighting back. The voting system is rigged beyond repair, and those in power are profiteers. So we need support, not hate. Your anger is misplaced, if not understood. Because believe me, I am angry too sometimes, but it needs to be directed at the manipulators, not the manipulated. And it's something we need to think about. Because John, trust me, I'm right there with you, man. I'm frustrated sometimes. But we have to recognize that there's a lot of people like myself really trying to fight for what's right. And they may project the wrong people to the world and say, look at everyone supporting all these things in Venezuela, when the reality is that I think most don't. They're letting the most ignorant, misinformed, loudest 1% scream and using their platform to do it because they want to project that image. So we have to realize that there are a lot of people like me, and also recognize that at the end of the day, we need to come together. We need to help those people that are still lost. They may be fighting and saying, yay, regime change Venezuela or wherever else. Let's invade Iran. But a lot of these people, just like we all were at one point, are still lost. They still believe the mainstream media. And it's our job to fight for them, to wake them up, as frustrating as it may be sometimes. That's what we're here to do. So let's try not to hate everybody. Let's try not to hate at all. Let's simply try to change everything, ourselves included. So thank you all for tuning in today. As you all know, everything you do is important. All your super chats and all your support is how this channel can survive. I'm wearing my Question Everything t-shirt today, as you can see, so we truly need to question everything. And you can check out the links in the show notes if you'd like to buy a shirt or a sticker or whatever else. Support us with cryptocurrency or PayPal or Patreon or whatever. Because simply, this channel exists because of you. But as always, the real important thing is simply to share the link. Get the information out there. As I keep trying to point out, I know a lot of people like the shorter versions of the show, and I know I've been going longer lately because there's just so much important stuff to talk about, but I am breaking these down into clips per segment, at least the most important ones, under the playlist on the channel of TDWU clips, the daily wrap-up clips. And there'll be little segments from 5 to 15 minutes, depending on the segment, where you can share the little segments with whoever you want. So those that are asking for the shorter versions, they're right there for you. And I appreciate the suggestion. Trust me, I get it. Some people have low attention spans. But I'm going to continue to do that as well. So I love you all. Thank you for tuning in. Please share the link. Get the information out there because we are changing minds. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.